السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله حمد الشاكرين الذي خلق الأخلاق والأرضين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. Respected audience, I would like to thank you all who have attended today's gathering, and I would like to thank those people who have invited me here to this beautiful country, to these beautiful people, solely for the purpose of the deen and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I begin, may we all sincerely from our hearts, with love and affection for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shall we all recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mawlana Muhammadin ma'dinil judi wal karam wa mabda'il ilmi wal hilmi wal hikam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ...50,000 years before He created the world and everything that is in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed the destiny of everything that was to be created. Maqadir al-khala'iq is mentioned in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed the maqadir, the qadr, the destiny of all of His creation 50,000 years before He created the skies and the earth. This means that when we were to come into this world, what we were to do, what options we would have, and from amongst those options, which ones would we choose, was already present in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had that fixed and written. And therefore, the lives that we are in today, the people that we have around us today, the family that we have today, the marital partners that we are with today, and those who we have lost, it was all written 50,000 years before the earth and the sky was even created. So when people say that these relationships and these bonds are made in the heavens, this is what it means. We are here in this world and we search and we seek relationships, friendships, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already fixed everything. And that is why the ulama kiram say that when you come into this world, do not run after rizq, do not seek wealth of this world so much that you don't have enough time to fulfill your duties that Allah has bestowed you with. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam came with the final book and the final message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that message and from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given honor to the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, meaning to the mankind, to humans. How has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given honor to mankind? The ulama kiram explained that from all the animals and all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the humans are distinguished with intellect and aql. We have been given aql, we have been given intellect, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set more rules and more guidelines for us than he has for other creations of his. And that is why we see that if one man transgresses against another man, then he can take him to court. And he can have justice and have the person punished if he has wronged him. But if an animal, for example, if a cow or a buffalo has urinated on your doorstep, can you take that cow or buffalo to the court? You can't. If a cat jumped onto you and scratched your face or disformed your face, would you be able to take that cat into court? You can't. There is not one courtroom in the world that deals with such cases. But what you can do is if that cat is owned by a man, then you can take that man into court. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given intellect to man, and therefore Allah has honored man, and the more honored a person is, the more status a man has, the more responsibility that man is given. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given more responsibility to humans. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everything on the earth has been created to serve mankind. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Everything in the earth has been created to serve man. And that is why men ride on camels, ride on horses, ride on donkeys, and they serve their purpose. But man has been given more rules and regulations to follow. And that is why the Quran has been revealed upon man. And that is why the Anbiya-e Kiram are from amongst mankind. So we have rules and regulations to follow. And that is why when you see animals and other creations, when they are preserving their own kind, they have no rules and regulations to follow. They are animals. But for man, he has rules and regulations to follow. We have rules of tahara, cleanliness in our lives. Animals don't have that. They don't have rules of cleanliness. We have rules of being good to each other. Animals don't have that. They will lock horns with each other without reason. But man will have to have a reason to justify his actions. And that is why we as humans have been given a book of rules and guidelines that we must follow. And from amongst those rules and guidelines, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies in the Quran that this world has been made as an alamul asbab. Every single thing that happens in this world, there is a means for it. Allah is the one who gives us rizq, but there is a means for us to attain that rizq. We can't just sit at home and wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring that rizq to us. But you have to go to work, you have to go and work hard, go through hardship in order to earn that rizq that Allah has bestowed for you. Because this world is a world of means. Now when the matter comes about the preservance of mankind, how do men preserve their kind? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that lesson and informed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a woman and a man so that they can come together and they can preserve mankind. And that is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed for us to preserve our humanity. And to understand, somebody just remembered something, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was such a great intellectual person that once a man challenged Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and he says that today I will go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and I will prevent him from reaching his salah in the masjid. And I will ask him a question that he will not be able to answer. And it will delay his salah. And this was a whisper of shaitan. He comes to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and he says, while Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is about to enter the masjid, he says, I have a question that I need to ask. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, son, ask what is your question? He says, from amongst the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which specific creations of Allah give birth to babies, and which specific creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give eggs, lay eggs. Which ones give babies and which ones give lay eggs. Now he thought that this will take very, very long for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to answer. But Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was the door of the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that those creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have been given ears, they give babies. And those who have not been given ears, they lay the eggs. Now you can go and find out which ones they are. And he went and performed this salah. This was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. If that was his knowledge, then imagine the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this determines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed for the preservance of humanity that they give birth to children. Now when we go back to the beginning of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam felt lonely. He needed companionship. And it is mentioned that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, when he fell asleep and he was resting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to take one of the bones from his ribcage. And from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a woman. And a woman was created as a companionship of man. And a woman is also part of the mankind. She is a woman. She's a woman. Now, when she was created and Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam awoke, and this is also mentioned in the Quran, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam says, Man anti, who are you? And she says, Imratun, I am a woman. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam asks her, Lima khulikti, why have you been created? She says, Litaskuna ilayya, so that you receive peace and tranquility and find a place to stay with me. And that is the purpose of the creation of women, as mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now today, in the world, especially the West, they are fighting for feminism. Equality in this world. Equality. We want equality for men and women. But we are Muslims, and we have been given the purpose of creation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us, we cannot compromise with that. Because that is our faith, we believe in it. And the truth is, the fact is that even in the West, there is no equality. Women are not treated equally in the West. They have a specific newspaper in the West, which has a page 3. And they have, ma'adallah, a naked woman on that paper. Never do they have a man. So where's the equality in the West? When they want to advertise cars, they have women standing next to the cars to advertise them cars. Where's the equality there? They force the Muslims to ensure that when they have a gathering about the deen in universities, they expect the Muslims to have seating that is mixed with men and women. Because if you separate their seating, then it is against equality. But the question is that when you go to the toilets in their own town centers, they have a separate toilet for the women and a separate one for the men. What harm is that? What harm is in that? How does that harm equality when you have equal space for women, equal space for men? What Islam says is that women and men must be treated fairly, not equally. Everyone should be treated fairly, not equally. And I'll explain that in a moment. Durood Sharif Parayza. Jazakumullahu khairan jazakumullahu. Now we have understood that for the preservance of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a specific means of it, and we as Muslims must abide to them means and regulations. And Islam teaches that men and women must be treated fairly. And you can look into your own workplaces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mankind in a very diverse manner. There is a lot of diversity in man. Men have been created from different parts of the earth. And therefore there is a lot of diversity. Allah has given some people more intellect than others. Allah has given physical strength to some specific individuals more than others. In the same way, some individuals are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with defects in their physical body. And therefore you cannot expect them to do as equally as everybody else. They should be treated fairly. And that's why we have specific lifts which are designated for disabled people. We have specific restrooms that are designated for disabled people. Because we must treat everyone fairly, not equally. That is what Islam teaches. And that is what the Quran teaches us. And when a man will study the Quran and try and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed as rules upon man and upon women as rules, he will find that it is completely fair. And some people say that Islam treats women as second class citizens. And the fact of the matter is, ask the Muslims, ask the ulama ikram. If you ask a man, the man will say that the truth is that women are treated as first class citizens, we are treated as second class. That is what a man will say. Because man should, as a Muslim, treat his wife and treat his women, his mother, his daughters, his sisters as first class citizens and regard himself as a second class citizen. In the same way, a woman should treat her husband and the men in her family as first class citizens and treat herself as a second class citizen. It works both ways. One must never believe or feel that I am superior to the other. And when you will sacrifice your superiority for the other person, then that is how there will be peace and tranquility in your household. For example, when one person likes the window to be closed and the other doesn't. Now, if you are the person dealing with this matter, you think that why should I give my comfort superiority over hers? If she likes the door open, then I will be patient. I will leave the door open so that cold air can come. Because you will sacrifice your comfort for hers, then there will be peace in the household. And if we all learn this one thing in all aspects of life, whether it is dealing with your wife or your colleagues at work or the other humankind, your fellow human brothers and sisters and Muslims who are in the streets whilst you are walking outside, that your comfort is not superior to theirs, rather theirs is superior to yours, then we will have peace. That is how peace and tranquility can enter the heart. And the truth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, that hearts cannot find peace but through the dhikr of Allah. And the dhikr of Allah encompasses so much in meaning that dhikr can also mean nasiha in this sense. That it is the words of Allah and the rules and guidelines of Allah that if you follow them, then you will find peace. And that is why if you follow the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given mankind in order to preserve humanity, then he will find peace. But that man who acts like animals, that man who does what animals do, and he goes and finds a way of preserving humanity by raping other women, ma'adallah, then there is no peace for such man. In the same way, through zina, if somebody does that, through adultery, then he will not find any peace. Because peace is only in that which is the law and rules and regulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with. And that is the matter. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created man and woman, in order for man and woman to preserve humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed this magical desire in each other for each other. And that desire that man has for woman and woman has for man is without doubt one of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is one of the signs of Allah. It is one of the wonders of the world. It is one of those things that our minds cannot comprehend. And we know that as humans, that when a man feels the desire towards a woman, it can take away his intellect. And at times man can commit sin for fulfilling his desire for a woman. Because Allah has placed that desire as a test. If you use it in the correct manner, you will be rewarded for it. And if you use it in the wrong manner, then you will be punished for it.
And Shaitan takes advantage. Shaitan takes advantage of men and women, not just men, but women also.
Because Allah has placed this magical desire in each other,
for each other, and then Allah has given us the rules and regulations. That this desire that I have given you, this is the way you shall fulfill this desire. This is the way you shall fulfill this desire. And that is why there is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there is khair and sadaqah in the specific act that a man does with his wife. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, are you saying that there is reward when we fulfill our desires with our wife? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tell me, if one of you was to go to a woman who is haram upon you and fulfill his desire, then will he not be sinful and punished for it? The Sahaba ikram said, Bala ya Rasulullah. Yes, of course, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, then why would he not be rewarded? If he uses the halal means that Allah has given him and goes to his wife and fulfills his desire. Do you understand that? And it is, the ulama ikram have mentioned that this magical desire that Allah has placed in man and woman is like the desire man has for food. When he is hungry, he needs food. In the same way, when a man has this desire, he needs to fulfill that desire. But man must only eat that which is halal for him. Man must only fulfill his desire of hunger with that which he owns and is free for him to eat, and it is halal for him to eat. In the same way, he must also fulfill his desire in the way that is halal and the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed for him. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a man leaves his home and he walks in the street, and he sees a woman that he feels attracted towards, then he should return home and he should go and fulfill his desire with his wife. That will protect him from haram and keep him clean and pure. Does that make sense? That is the rules and regulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us. And the preservance, as we all know, of humanity is through nikah. And nikah is an act which is so blessed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed it many times. And he encouraged his Sahaba ikram to perform nikah as much as they can. As much as they can, meaning the amount, as based upon the amount of physical and financial ability they have. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith is mentioned in Muslim Sharif and in Ibn Majah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya ma'shar al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a, falyatazawwaj. That O young people, from amongst you, whoever has istita'a, capability of ba'a. And ba'a means your physical and financial capability. You have to be physically able to fulfill the desire of your marital partner. And in the same way, you must have financial capability. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. Then you must marry. You should get married. And that is a fairly amr. It means it's an order of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we have those people amongst us that I don't want to get married young. I don't want to get married yet. Parents are saying you need to get married. And it is one of the rights of the children upon the parents, that the parents ensure that they find him a suitable partner and get him married at a young age. And if a parent is not fulfilling that right, then they are not doing wrong towards the child. But when the child is disobedient, then that is not to be blamed upon them. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O young people, if you are financially and physically capable, then you should get married. And then he said, فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. He says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because if you get married, then that will protect your eyes from haram, looking towards that which is haram upon you. It will keep your gaze low.
أمدعوا للنظر.
It will keep your gaze low.
You will not look at women in the streets and outside. Because there is a very, very evil illness amongst men that when they are standing in the streets, when a woman goes past, they stop. And they start looking at the woman. This is a very evil act. And this is the act of shaitan. This is when a man who is a Muslim, who has submitted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submits himself to the shaitan. That is the man who stops and looks towards women that are haram upon him. And therefore you should get married. Do nikah. Do nikah, and to prevent your children from falling into that haram, you should make sure that you find a suitable partner for your children. Not only for your male children, but also for your female children. That is a duty upon every man and every parent. Now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it will lower your gaze, and he says, وَأَحْصَلُ لِلْفَرْجِ. And it will protect the private part from haram. And remember, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the Day of Judgment, those people will be in severe punishment who did not protect their tongue and their private part. And in order for you to protect your private part from haram and impurity and that which causes all these diseases and illnesses, then you should get married. Get married and follow the halal means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and fulfill your desires in that way. وَأَحْصَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ. Yani, يَا أَيُّهَا الشَّبَابِ, from amongst you, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, he who does not have the capability, financially or physically, of getting married, then he should fast. فَعَلَيْهُمْ بِالصِّيَامِ. Then they should, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. Then he should fast. Roza rakhe. He should fast from morning till sunset. Why is that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Because the scientific background of desire is that when a man eats to his fill, his desires increase. And his desires become uncontrollable. But when a man eats less, then the desire of hunger overcomes the other desires. And that is why when a man has a complaint, and many young people come to ulama-i kiram with this complaint, that I have this desire that I cannot prevent. I have this serious desire. How can I prevent myself? Then the answer is that that person should fast. He should fast. And if he cannot fast, then he should eat less. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a man eats, then he should only fill 1/3 of his stomach with food, 1/3 of his stomach with water, and leave one stomach free for air, so that he can breathe easily. And that will protect him from sin. That is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. This means that if you want to prevent the sins that happen outside, the zina that occurs outside in the world today, even the raping that occurs in the world today, then people should adopt nikah. They should get married to one that is lawful for him to marry, and that will protect him from their sins. And that will ensure that our society is protected from that filth and that evil that we face. Now, some people say that I don't have any money, how can I get married to a woman? If I cannot fend for myself, then how can I fend for my marital partner? And then how can I have children? How will I look after my children? And the answer to that is that Allah is the one who provides. Allah is the one who provides. You must never think that. But in fact, the Quran teaches that when a man feels that there is no success in his earnings, I am not able to earn, my business is not successful, everything I'm trying to do, my job, I am trying to look for a job so that I can earn an income, but I am not successful. I keep failing all my interviews. I can't find a job. Then come to the Quran. The Quran gives you an answer. The Quran says that get married. Get your women married. Get your women who are free married. وَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ. Wow, sir.
وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that get your women married and your pious servants and your pious female servants, get them married. وَإِيَّكُونُ فُقَرَاء. If they are poor people, they have no income, they are finding it hard to fend for themselves, يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them rich. Allah will make them rich, which means that if you can't find a job and you have not yet got married, go and get married to a woman. Then Allah will give you rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you an income. Instead, people say, how can I get married? I have no job. How can I get married? I have no income. My business is not successful. How can I get married? Your thinking is the wrong way around. You need to think the other way around. You need to get married so that your business does well. Because remember, everybody's destiny is fixed. Allah has fixed everybody's destiny. And sometimes, when in your destiny there is not much risk, but when you find this wife, Allah has put so much risk in her destiny, that when you get married with her, her risk and your risk joins together, and your risk increases. In the same way, sometimes a woman has no risk in her destiny, but the man that she gets married to, risk is in his destiny, and when they join together, the risk increases for both of them. And that is why don't ever step back from marriage that your parents are encouraging you to do because you have no income. But in fact, think to yourself that if I will get married, then Allah will give me more. Allah will give me an income. In the same way, in the ayyam of Jahiliyyah, people used to prevent themselves from having children because they thought that if we have children, we will not be able to afford the children. خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقِ, the Quran mentions. Because they felt they didn't have enough provision to provide for their children. And today a time has come when people are using contraception. Contraception in order to prevent children from being born. They are trying to challenge the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? That if you give birth to children, then them children will bring risk into your life. Sometimes it is the child that when he is born, you suddenly start feeling that my business has excelled so much. I never used to find a job, now I have so many opportunities. I can give you my personal experience. When I had no children, I went through a time of hardship. But when Allah gave me a baby girl, subhanallah, Allah gave me so much risk. So much risk that now I intend that I will go to Harmain Sharifain. Now I intend that I will do the work of the deen as much as I can. I don't need to go to work. Risk comes with children. Don't think that we should not have children yet. Let us first save this amount of money in our banks. Then we will decide that we will have children. But rather think that we don't. Let's have a child. Let's have as many children as we can. Allah will increase our risk. This is the mentality that we need to instill in our minds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the verse that I mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a woman has been created so that you can find peace and tranquility, sukoon, in the heart through the woman of your life. Now you need to think to yourself that do I find that peace and tranquility from my woman, from my wife? If it is not, if the answer is negative, then you need to make changes. You need to make changes in yourself. You need to make changes in yourself and think, why am I not receiving that peace from women when Allah has already determined and fixed that women give peace and tranquility to the man? Why am I not receiving it? There is something wrong that I am doing. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best of you, khiyarukum, the best of you, the best of mankind, the best of men, are those who are best towards their women in akhlaq. Those who are best towards the women in akhlaq. Your character should be good towards your woman. You should not always be shouting at your woman. You should always be being affectionate to your woman. You should be treating her fairly, treating her nicely. And to understand that, let me tell you a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that a woman came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, men have been prescribed jihad. Men have been given these duties. If they go and carry out these duties, there is so great reward for them. And if they die in that path, then they will go to Jannah. What is there for women? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that go and tell them, tell all the other women that you meet, pass this message from me to them, that those of you who are obedient to your husbands, those of you who are obedient to your husbands will be given the same reward as men receive when they go and sacrifice their lives in the battlefield for Islam. Do you understand that? So women have been given this great and excelled reward by just obeying the husband. And the husband should understand that his demands should not be so much that she cannot bear. If a woman has faults in her, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't think of them faults, think of the good that is in her. Think of the good that is in her. That is how man should be. When you see a fault of her, or you are reminded of a fault that your wife has, for example, she speaks loudly, then think of something that is good in her. Yes, she speaks loudly, but she cares for my child so much. She cares for my children so much. She washes my clothes and she irons them. She washes the dishes that we eat in. She prepares the food that we eat. She looks after and cleans the house, ensures that the house is pure and clean, free from any impurity. She does all of this for me. Think of the qualities that she has in her. In that way, you will be protected from any sort of hate towards her. And the hadith that I wanted to mention to you, for you to understand how you should treat your women. Once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Uridu an-nar," I was shown the fire of hell. I was shown the fire of hell. فَإِذَا أَكْثَرُ أَهْلِهَا النِّسَاءُ يَكْفُرْنَا. I saw that the majority in the fire of hell were women who committed kufr. And the people asked, أَيَكْفُرْنَا بِاللَّهِ. Did they commit kufr towards Allah, those women? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. يَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرَةِ. They commit kufr towards their husbands. How do they commit kufr towards their husbands? They are ungrateful towards their husbands. Na shukr. They are ungrateful. You do something for her, after a few days she forgets. And she may do something that shows her ungratefulness towards you. Because of them, women being ungrateful towards their husbands, most of them are in the fire of hell. And then he said, وَيَكْفُرْنَا الْإِحْسَانِ. And they are ungrateful towards the favors that people do towards them. Women are. And remember, this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us. This is not a scientist or a wise man from the past. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا يقول إلا حق. إن هو إلا وحي يوحى, as the Quran says. وَمَا يَنْدِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't talk from his own mindset. He only speaks the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a fact. This is a fact for the Muslims. We must understand that these are facts. Non-Muslims won't understand. But we as Muslims, we know that these are facts. This is the way we know. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَوْ أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَاهُنَّ الدَّهْرِ. If you were all throughout your life, do ihsan towards her, be good towards her, you brought the whole world and put it into her feet, and one thing you do that she sees in you, and she sees shay'an, one thing in you, then she will say, مَا رَأَيْتُ فِيكَ خَيْرًا قَطُّ. I have never seen good in you. Do you see what I'm saying? You have done good towards your wife all throughout your life. All throughout your life you have done good. You have done so many favors for her. You have bought her the best clothes you could. You gave her the best food. You even bought her designer handbags. You bought her designer shoes. You gave her all that you could afford that Allah had given you. You spent it for your wife. But as soon as she sees something wrong in you, then she forgets it all. I have never seen you. You're never good to me. You're always bad to me. This is how women are. And you know what? This is a fact, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. And if you don't believe it, ask those people who are married. They will tell you. People have experienced this in their lives. But the reason why I'm telling you this hadith, specifically for the men, is that you should understand this, remember this, and know that women are vulnerable. They are vulnerable, and therefore understand that this is part of their nature. This is how they are. So don't feel bad when your wife says that to you. Don't feel bad when your wife is ungrateful to you. If she says you've never done good to you, don't worry. Just say that I will try to do good to you from now. From now I will try to do good to you. Just say that. To ensure there is peace in your household. That is the way men should be. And this is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he said, the best of you is he who is best towards his women in character. Does that make sense? And this hadith for women is a lesson. For women, this hadith is a lesson. That whenever you see something wrong in your husband, and you're just about to say to him that you are never good to me, you are always bad to me, then stop. Remember this hadith and think, I shouldn't say this because it is wrong. Does that make sense? As Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given specific guidelines to treat our women. You must know that a woman goes through menstrual cycle every month. And that is hardship for women. It is hardship for women. That is why women don't have to perform salah in them days. Someone said to me that no, that is wrong. Islam is an evil religion and women are not supposed to pray namaz in them days because she is impure. You say she is impure, that's why. And the fact is that no, that's not true. Women have been given exception from performing salah whilst they are on their menstrual cycle because it is a hardship that they cannot bear. That is the truth. Why? Because when you look towards the chapter of fasting and siyam, purity is not a necessity in fasting. Yet women have been accepted from fasting when they are on their menstrual cycle. Does that make sense? Okay, so women go through hardship. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that women's intellect is decreased. The intellect of women is decreased when they are on their menstrual cycle. And that's why when the woman is on a menstrual cycle, she is more vulnerable. And at that time, you as a husband, or you as a son of your mother, or you as a father of a daughter, need to be aware of that and know that she is more vulnerable now. I need to take care of her more. I need to be more nice towards her. That is how you ensure peace in your household. You know, when people have arguments, and even though you are not wrong, people say to you that, just go and say sorry to him. Because you are the better from the two. Or you are more understanding from the two. Then why don't you be more understanding and better and superior when it comes to this matter? Be nice to your women. That is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. And you know, when somebody researched in the prisons of the UK, I don't know about Sri Lanka, but in the UK, when a person did a survey of the women that were imprisoned in the UK jails, this person, and this is, I'm talking many years from today when I read this research, he said that 95% of the women that were in them jails had committed a crime whilst they were on their menstrual cycle. You see that? Because menstrual cycle has an effect on women. And that's why Islam gives so much leniency to women. Look at your life. Who is regarded as the person responsible for his family in his household? الرِّجَالُونَ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men are made responsible. كُلُّكُمْ رَائِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. You will be questioned on the day of judgment regarding your wife and your children. Who has been given the duty to go out and work hard, sweat, and put your physical strength towards work or your mental strength on your intellectual work that you do in order to earn an income? Who has been given that responsibility? Men have been given that responsibility. Women don't have to go to work. Men have to go to work. Allah has given that as a duty. Who is the one that has to bring food home? You know, today our custom is that women have to get the food done. The fact is that men have been given that duty. It is men who have to feed the woman. There was Sayyidina Muawiyah al-Qushayri radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا يَقُولُ فِي نِسَائِنَا. What do you say regarding مَا تَقُولُ? What do you say about our women? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَطْئِمُوهُنَّ مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. Feed them with that which you eat yourself. Who has to feed them? The men have to feed the women. Does that make sense? But it is the graciousness of the women that they cook the food for us today. But it is the men's duty to ensure that they feed the woman. Who has to give clothing to the woman? Whose duty is that? Men's duty. Who has to give clothing to the children? The men have to give clothing to the children. Think of all these responsibilities. Whose responsibilities are there? All these responsibilities are given to men. Then what responsibility is there for women? And the truth is that the responsibility for women is that they bear the child. They bear your child. They give birth to your child. And the hardship that they have to go through for that is again a magical thing. It is beyond our understanding how women give birth to men. And you know, I advise you that one day if your wife is pregnant and may Allah give you children and she is about to give birth, then if it is possible for you, then be present by her when she gives birth. And just see how much hardship she has to go through. And that will place respect for her in your head, and not only for her, but also for your mother. Also for your mother. You will realize how much my mother has done for me by giving birth to us. And you will realize how much your wife does by giving birth to your children. So women have been given these responsibilities, and in their spare time, they are women of luxury. They stay at home. They spend their lives at home. They don't have to go out to work. Yes, if it becomes necessary and the household needs more income, then the woman may go out to work. But if there is no necessity, then women don't have to go to work. They shouldn't go to work. They should stay at home and they should look after the house. Live a life of luxury. That's what Islam teaches. And that is for you as men. As for women, they have to also understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger has given more authority to women. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that I asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, I asked, who has most right over a woman? Man a'zamu haqqan ala imra'atin. Who has the most right, haqq, over a woman? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, zawju, her husband has the most right. The husband has the most right. And then she asked, ki ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who has the most right over a man? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ummu, his mother. His mother has the most right. And therefore, the women should understand that they should ensure that they are obedient to their husband and give them their rights by accepting their decisions, asking for their decision. Whenever the husband makes his decision, accept that decision. Because he has a right. He has a right over you. But when your husband is doing favors towards his mother, or giving parts of his income or his wealth, or giving gifts to his mother, then don't get involved. Don't say that we don't have enough to give to your mother. When it comes to the matter of him and his woman, him and his mother, then you as women must understand that that is a right bestowed upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore don't get involved. But actually, if you can gather yourself and be brave enough to fight your desires and say to your husband that yes, she is your mother, give her twice as much as that, then you are a woman who will go to Jannah. Sayyiduna, ab time zyada nahi hai na, khatam kar. This is my message for both men and women. That women, you should understand that the husband has given more authority. You should be good towards your husband. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a man wakes up in the morning and he performs wudu and performs salah and he wakes his wife up and she performs wudu and performs salah, then Allah will be merciful for him. Rahimahullah. Allah will be merciful towards him. And he said, if she does not wake up, then sprinkle water on her. Okay, this doesn't mean that you take a bucket and throw the bucket of water on your wife when she's sleeping. But the Prophet Muhammad said, sprinkle some water on her so that she wakes up. Okay? In the same way, the Prophet Muhammad said that if a woman wakes up in the morning, performs ablution, performs salah, and then wakes her husband up and he does the same, then Allah will be merciful towards her. And in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger said that if he does not wake up, then she may sprinkle some water on her husband. Does that make sense? Okay, so this doesn't mean that now a woman has had a disagreement with her husband and she thinks tomorrow morning, let it come, I'm going to wake up early and make sure I drown you in water at the time of Fajr. That's not what it means. And vice versa, we must respect each other. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us rights that are fair for each other, and we should fulfill them as much as we can in order to ensure that we have a peaceful household and it is free from disagreements and arguments. There are people today who fight for peace around the world, but they find it hard to find peace in their homes. First, they should work towards bringing peace in the home, learn to forgive each other, and then look towards creating peace outdoors.